Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. And yes, we are a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. We make no apologies for that. And it is going to be the Chip the Block show of the day. We had our Green Beret Delta Force operator lined up for the day. There were some technical difficulties with this microphone that we could not get resolved. And so it is going to be me today, but I picked out the stories and I'm thoroughly familiar with them. And we're going to have a lot of fun covering these things. And there's some very interesting information. And I said it on the break before, just before we went live. Hopefully you guys watched the presidential address last night. And hopefully you guys watched the NASA, launch, our new crew up into space. You know, they're not going to land on the moon this time, but man, they're talking about, colonizing the moon and all kinds of stuff. So there's some good stuff coming down. So I can't wait. And the Chinese are right on our heels. So we got to stay ahead of those guys. So, hey, a shout out to our sponsors. You know, we have our title sponsor, Gulls at Gulls.com. We also have our satellite sponsor that has us on satellite radio right now. And that is Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. We also have GunLearn.com, MyMedicare.live, SafeguardRecruiting.com, our streaming sponsor. And thanks to Safeguard, we're streaming to over a million followers right now during the live show. And TwoBells.com, they built a new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. So check out TwoBells. Go to LeoRoundtable.com, upper right-hand corner, you see our online store. You can go in and order stuff there, the coffee mug that we have, shirts, caps. We have all kinds of stuff. So make sure you check that out. And also a shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Thanks for carrying our content, Brian. We also have Ray Dietrich with FormerLawman.com and our very own Travis Shades with LawOfficer.com. So thanks to all those entities for helping make the show happen. And now what in the world are we going to be talking about today? Guys, here is the lineup. The first one, data security risk of using foreign developed mobile apps in the United States. So we don't think about this a lot. But all those apps on your phone, do you really know how secure they are? Do you know where they're coming from? And you know where they're coming from, where they're made at, can have a lot of bearing on whether they're secure or not, and whether they're not only stealing your information. And I'm talking about passwords and stuff for accounts and stuff, but also maybe the people that are on your phone too, their home addresses, phone numbers, all that stuff. And then we got the DOJ takes aim. We have a Second Amendment enforcement that is targeting state gun laws. So yeah, the federal government, they're wanting to bring everybody in line, like California, Washington State. So that's kind of an exciting topic. We have retired U.S. Army officer in Florida sentenced to federal prison. Wait till you find out why. We've got a body cam video. This is from, this is Butter's channel on Rumble. We have body cam video showing a shootout with police that led to an attempted murder charges. And we have another one where an armed suspect ends up being shot when he points a gun at officers that are inside a hotel lobby. That is a wild video. It's excellent quality. We have a longtime Monroe County Sheriff's Office sergeant jailed in a timesheet scandal. We've got another one, a video showing a domestic violence call that ended in a deadly Phoenix police shooting. And locked and loaded, there's a new lawsuit aiming to strip gun bans from national park buildings. That was interesting. And if we have time to get to it, Jacksonville police officers fatally shoot a domestic disturbance suspect when he pulls out a gun. So we've got all those lined up to talk about. So let's go and start off with the first one. And, I find it amazing that, you've got like this, right? This is a PSA from the FBI and it's at IC3.gov. So I as in Ida, C as in Charlie, the number 3 .gov is the website. But you have these news sites that will take that information and then you've got to pay the play. They're not going to let you read it. And you can go online and get it free. It's a public safety announcement from the FBI, but they want to charge you or they want you to register to become a subscriber and then send you all the emails and they got all these ads for their advertisers that are making money off of it. It's just really sad. So I dumped the other publication because I don't want to use links to stuff that you guys are going to have to pay to read, some of these like New York Times articles and stuff. So if memory serves me correctly. So anyhow, this one, data security risk of using foreign developed mobile apps in the United States. So what is this saying? So the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the FBI, they're releasing the public service announcement. They're highlighting data security risk. And I'll give you some examples associated with foreign developed mobile applications. So we're talking about foreign apps and they're frequently used in the United States. However, the concerns they're saying, at least in this PSA, are they're global. So as of early 2026, many of the most downloaded and top grossing apps in the U.S., in this country, they are actually developed and maintained by foreign companies, particularly those based in, you guessed it, China. Same guy who's trying to beat us to the moon. The apps that maintain digital infrastructure in China are subject to China's extensive national security laws, enabling what that means. It means the Chinese government, through their laws, they can have access to the apps that are made in that country, and they can access your mobile apps users' data. And I'm going to give you examples. Yeah, it's crazy. So users should be aware, the PSA says, of what user data the apps are requesting access to when you download it. And a lot of people, and I got to admit that I don't always pay attention either. When access is permitted by the user, the app can persistently collect data and users' private information throughout the device, not just within the app or while the app is active. And it says some platforms offer the option to invite friends or contacts to use the apps. That's where you really go down the rabbit hole, because you're screwing your friends too. With default permissions, the developer companies, they can store collected data on users' private information and address books, such as names, email addresses, your user ID, your physical address, phone numbers of your stored contacts. They get access to all that. And this permission gives the apps access to a host of personal information belonging to both the users and non-users in their contact list. So you're screwing your friends too. And then some of the apps may also contain malware that could collect data beyond what is authorized by the user. And they have some look, we're gonna have a link to this article when it comes out in tomorrow's video. Producer Will put that up at 9 o'clock in the morning tomorrow on our Rumble channel. But some of the recommendations from the FBI: disable unnecessary data sharing. And then only download verified apps that you're getting from the official app store. Change and update your passwords regularly, perform regular device software updates, and then read the terms of service and end user agreements before you download the apps. So I know that we're, probably not gonna do all that, or maybe even most of that, but we will have a link to this article underneath, tomorrow's video that comes out on the Rumble channel at 9 o'clock Eastern time. So you guys can check that out. But it is, it's some scary stuff, guys, when you think about it. So pay attention to what you do. I know that we've got Betty Dunn and other people here that are watching the show. So thanks, guys. And we also have Sergeant George saying the presidential address was, he called it unique. He's talking of, President Trump was talking about the war in Iran. Everybody, of course, wants this thing to end. And at least Trump is being firm. We have fought other battles before, but we pulled out too soon. And because of that, we've had a world to heart and staying in country for like a long time, trying to do what could have been done if we just would have stayed a little longer. So I'm glad he's saying we're not leaving until it's done. I want us to take over Karg Island. And I think that, our allies that have not stepped up to the plate, we should just take it over and charge them for use of Karg Island. If they want access to that oil and everything, not take oil from the Iranian people, but help them install a new regime. But we're doing all this for the betterment of the world. We have no backup, and everybody's just expecting us to do it. We should get something out of it. So I think we need to start playing hardball. We have the president to make that happen. But I have no problem pounding the Iranians into the ground. I'm not talking about the good Iranian people. I'm talking about the people that are in charge. It just has to be done. I don't want to leave and pull out of there and then be in the same place 1, 2 years later, 10 years later. I don't want it to happen. So if you guys are ready, we got 3 minutes before we go to our next one. And I am kind of scanning some of the user comments as well. So thanks, guys. I'm watching all these spook dog. Just the recovery crew for the astronauts should dress up in. I'm not even going to read that. That's not even cool. But thanks, guys, for watching the show. Let's go to our next topic here. Let's see if this gets any better. So stay away from the foreign apps. So this next one is from the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. So the DOJ, Department of Justice, they're taking aim, and Second Amendment enforcement, they're targeting state gun laws. So they're targeting the individual states. I love it. Every time I go to California, you guys know by now, I love Carmel. And I can't take a magazine that holds over 10 rounds. Even if I stack it with only 3 rounds, it's not good enough. If I have a 12 round magazine, a 15 round magazine, it doesn't matter. And I only put, 10 rounds in it or below, it doesn't matter. If the magazine holds more than 10, I'm screwed. You're screwed. Now, I just launched leoaffairs.ch because it's hosted in the Switzerland, in Sweden area. And because of that, We've got a section there talking about LEOSA, which is the Law Enforcement Officer Safety Act, also AKA known as HR 218. And he is saying that I'm enabled under LEOSA. If I'm carrying under LEOSA as a retired LEO, that I can, it doesn't matter. I can carry a 15 round magazine and I'm good to go. I haven't tested that theory yet. I don't know that I want to, because I know California gun laws don't recognize the LEOSA, even though the federal government's, you know, Law Enforcement Officer Safety Act, you know, a federal law, you know, should take precedence. But so we'll see. I'll give you more information as I get on that. But this Department of Justice Civil Rights Division, they're reportedly beginning a new phase of oversight. They're focusing on state and local gun regulations that may conflict with the Second Amendment. Now, we all know the Second Amendment is up for interpretation, because God knows that, you know, the Biden admin and other people, Obama, they have felt a different way. According to a recent report by the Washington Times Assistant Attorney General Harmeet Dhillon, and she's the hero in this. She's leading the effort to scrutinize restrictive firearm statutes, and this has drawn quick praise from gun rights advocacy groups. But that's just the advocacy groups. There's some other people that are going to be heavily upset about this. It goes on to say that the intervention is particularly relevant to those in the jurisdictions like California, Massachusetts, and the District of Columbia. Now, they don't mention the state of Washington, which has got some severe problems, too. You know, we've got our own Walla Walla County Sheriff Mark Ryder, you know, from Washington State. But Washington's name pops up in a second, so I'll get to that. So we're going to talk about how the feds are trying to get the states that have got it wrong with federal gun laws. We're trying to correct that, and they're in the crosshairs. We're going to talk about that some more when we come back from our commercial break. But it's time to talk about laws. We'll be right back.
My family only cares about one thing, that I come home safe.
At Galls, every order begins with a promise. Made with purpose. Stitched for support. Backed with pride. Answered by dedicated hands. Delivering the standard you have sworn to uphold. We serve more than the mission. We serve the person. Each piece is engineered to help get our first responders through the shift and back home safe.
Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the Law Enforcement Talk Show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. And look, we left off talking about the DOJ, Department of Justice, taking aim, the Second Amendment enforcement, and they're targeting state gun laws. That is serious. It wouldn't happen with Biden, or it wouldn't happen with Obama, but Trump's trying to get the states on the same page. You know, we don't know how long of a shot we have. You know, Trump's been in office for just over a year, four-year term. We don't know what's going to happen after that. I would like to think that that we're doing a good enough job to where they would want to keep Republicans in office, but you know, you never know. So this could be a one-shot opportunity to try to get this stuff done and get it fixed. So they named some states that are particularly relevant to having it wrong. California, we all know that. I just mentioned how I like to travel there, and I have to, you know, I've been abiding by the gun restrictions, although our new LEOSA guy at leoaffairs.ch, he's saying I can go in and run and carry whatever I want. So we'll see. I may test that coming up in October. But California, Massachusetts, and D.C., the District of Columbia. Now, the article goes on to say that the federal focus is following a previous initiative, and they're calling it, you know, it's by the CCRKBA, and that's got it's an acronym, of course. It stands for the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms, and their chairman is Alan Gottlieb, or Gottlieb, and so it follows their previous initiative, and last year they released what they called the Dirty Dozen. So now it's getting interesting, right? We got more states than just the three I listed. So it's a listing of states where they believe gun control laws require immediate legal challenges. And so here's the real list, the Dirty Dozen list. It currently includes, of course, California, Colorado, so MVS, Colorado is on the list, Connecticut, Hawaii, Illinois, Maryland, Massachusetts, New Jersey, and New Mexico, and New York. No shock there. Oregon, and finally, lastly listed, Washington State. That's when I was looking for. So Gottlieb suggested that Virginia may soon be added to the roster of states facing federal review. So I think that's very interesting. And, you know, if they could just get these guys to, look, you've got some agencies, and I'm talking about law enforcement agencies, that have trouble with their cops being able to carry guns because of laws. Like even the high capacity magazine laws in California were preventing some guys. I remember a story about a reserve officer that had to respond to a tactical situation. He was on their SWAT. Remember, not everybody has a large agency and they're on full-time status. I mean, look, we've got some big agencies and they have SWAT teams. That's all they do 24/7. They are a 24/7 SWAT team and that's all they do. They don't hit the road. They don't answer calls. They're not working undercover. That's all they do. And then you've got other agencies like mine, Tampa, where they do call outs, but you know, these guys train and stuff, but they're assigned to squads and they get called out, whether they're at home or whether they're working on the street, you know? And then you've got some smaller agencies that have, you know, guys that are reserve officers and they'll train on the weekends or monthly or whatever. And they are just on a reserve status and they get called out for like SWAT calls, stuff like that. So they had a guy in California that couldn't even carry a high capacity magazine for his AR or M4 that he had. And he was restricted because of the laws for the state. I know that Sheriff Kreider in Walla Walla County in Washington State has said that there are certain things that they can't even buy, that he can't even buy in his own state, that he's restricted in the state of Washington. So hopefully we can get some of this stuff, you know, cleared up and fixed, because, you know, guns don't kill people. Bad guys with guns kill people. And we need more good guys with guns. So anyhow, hopefully you guys are on board with that. So, and I see we had a earthquake, according to Spook Dog. And I did read about Florida having an earthquake, but off, you know, in the distance and stuff. But there's surprisingly, even around the Panhandle area, a lot of earthquakes around the Florida area that no one knows about, including me. I've been here all my life. So if you guys are ready, let's go to our next article. We've got a little over 3 minutes before we go to our second commercial break. And I'm still scanning all the, Rumble and all the outlets. We've got Facebook. We've got YouTube, watching all these things. So, and also, yes, MVS says they're trying to, the communist state of Colorado is trying to take their guns. Democrats have taken over Colorado. I'm not moving to Colorado anytime soon. And according to Chile, Pennsylvania is going down the rabbit hole too. And he's starting to get scared over there. So yeah, a lot of things going on, a lot of surprises, but at least we've got the DOJ looking into this. So they're, hopefully it'll give those guys a pucker factor. So let's go to our next one. We've got an update article I found surprising, and this is from Tampa, guys, but it's scary. You know, we have CENTCOM here. So newsbreak.com, we have a retired U.S. Army officer in Florida sentenced to federal prison. So I know you're thinking already, well, wow, if it was a federal investigation, you must have done something pretty bad. Yeah. 62 years old, Kevin Charles Luke of Tampa, sentenced to 24 months. So that's 2 years in federal prison for the disclosure of classified information related to the national defense of the United States. Serious charge. And yes, there was a woman involved, in case you guys are wondering. So Luke pled guilty on October the 7th, 2025. In his plea agreement, he admitted to abusing a position of public trust. According to court documents, he served in both an active duty and reserve components of the United States Army. He did this from 1981 until he retired with the rank of colonel on June 30th, 2018. So 1981 to 2018. So that's a good run. Following his retirement, Luke was employed as a civilian employee at United States Central Command, CENTCOM. And during his time in the Army and as a civilian employee, he held a top secret, sensitive, compartmented information security clearance. And so this is what, you know, when you're in the military and you got that really pristine assignment, you get that security clearance, even if you're, you know, having a federal gig in your Secret Service or FBI, and you've got that, once you get the Secret Service, security clearance, that allows you to get jobs after you retire. And as long as you keep that thing active, I think it's automatically active for 5 years afterwards, and then it can get extended. So you can get some really great jobs with six-figure payouts, and it's pretty impressive. So that's what this guy had. And then he became a private player, a contract employee, but still working at CENTCOM on multiple occasions, including as recently as February 2019. He acknowledged his responsibility to protect classified information because he signed a standard form 312, non-disclosure agreement. And that, of course, is going to help. He'd be in the grease anyhow, but he acknowledged that he knew what his duty was in order to keep his mouth shut. And apparently, alcohol and women will do it to you every time. Apparently, he didn't follow that rule. So, guys, we're going to be going with our next commercial break. Stick with us. We'll be right back. You don't want to miss the story. Stick with us. All right, guys. It's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And they are committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-optics manner, utilizing what they're called their CD3, which stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Device Technology. Now, their flagship product we all know by now is called the Glove. It's helped the officers not only tens of thousands of times, but they've actually had over, and listen to this, 250,000 deployments, no injuries, no deaths. Amazing stat. They've actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or conductive energy weapon, the Glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions that's ever come along. So go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them the Chip sent you. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We left off talking about a retired U.S. Army officer in Florida, in Tampa, where I'm at, sentenced to federal prison. Kevin Charles Luke, 62 years old, of Tampa. Man, did this guy screw up. So we left off talking about, you know, what he had done. He has a top secret military clearance, and then he had reserve status after he finished his active duty stuff. And there's a woman involved, I had said before we went to commercial break. So in October of 2024, so not long ago, he sent a woman a text message from his personal cell phone that stated, "Sent to my boss earlier, gives you a peek at what I do for a living," unquote. All right, so that's uncool. Following the message, he's trying to impress her, I guess. He sent a photograph of a computer screen displaying a classified email message that he had authored, and he sent using a government email address intended for classified email communications. The photograph of the classified email also revealed targets of a planned U.S. military operation, as well as the future date of the operation, the means of executing the operation, and the goal of the operation. The email contained classified markings at the secret level that Luke himself had added. The unauthorized release of the information contained within the photograph, it could be expected to cause serious damage to the national security of the United States. Just stupid. I have no sympathy for this guy. The case was investigated by who? Listen to the players involved in the investigation. You do not want these guys investigating you. Now, remember, this guy was an Army dude at CENTCOM, and that's not unusual. There are other people from all kinds of branches of the government assigned to CENTCOM. United States Air Force investigated, obviously, you know, CENTCOM. Office of Special Inspections, Investigations. We got the FBI, the U.S. Attorney, Lindsey Schmidt, was involved. Trial Attorney Leslie Eastbrook from the National Security Division's Counterintelligence and Export Control Section and prosecuted the case. The defendant was sentenced by U.S. District Judge James Moody Jr. I know that guy. And back when I was running around, he was a judge, good guy. U.S. Attorney Greg Keough made the announcement. So, wow. And I got to give credit. West Orlando News are the guys that broke the story. So good for them. So anyhow, that's the latest and the greatest. So guys, if you have top secret military clearance and you're trying to impress a woman, let it be one of the most kept secrets. You know, don't be sending her pictures from your cell phone of classified communications and pictures of op plans and jeopardize the safety. We have a senator that, you know, that's going through the, let me think about this now. Was he a House rep or was he a senator? I think it was a senator, the guy that had the Chinese female cohort that he was messing around with, and then she ended up being a spy and stuff, and they're getting ready to release all that data. Don't be one of those. You know, just keep your mouth shut, stay away from the booze and the females, and don't make stupid decisions trying to impress females, and then, you know, then spend, you know, 24 months in federal prison. And I'm surprised he didn't get longer than that, because he certainly deserved it. You know, this guy, this is just scary. And just think about how many other guys are doing stupid stuff like this. Think about why you've got people like China and Iran trying to you know, be friendly with guys like this that have top secret security clearances, and just imagine what they could, the confidential information they could obtain by doing that. It's just kind of scary. So yeah, this guy, he didn't get what he deserved, because he deserved much worse. I think they went light on him. Actually, he deserves more than 2 years in federal prison, and you know, he'll be done. He won't be able to get another job like that again. I don't know what kind of a pension he has. I know that they kind of implied that he was doing maybe some of the stuff when he was active before he went reserve status, but I don't know if that's the case or not. But I'm kind of curious if his pension's affected or not. I think that that's a legitimate question. So yeah, I'm kind of curious. So, and AJ, I hope Lady Godiva was worth his career. That's pretty funny. All right. Well, if you can hit your target, you do not need more ammo. All right. All right, so guys, moving along here, let's see what else we got. But that's the latest. I think that we're getting close. Yep, we got a story with the video components. Let's go ahead and cover this. We got a couple stories with video components that are just going to blow your socks off. So, you know, we like to use our favorite channel, happens to be on Rumble at rumble.com, and it's called This Is Butter. And This Is Butter, these videos come out like faster than anybody else at This Is Butter's channel on Rumble. And so in this one, we have a body cam video showing a shootout with police that led to an attempt, led to attempted murder charges.
Please stop! He's going towards the soccer field.
Here, the suspect can be seen running ahead of the officers as the officer, who has not drawn his service weapon, continues to give commands to stop. The suspect moves around the corner of the building and waits out of sight for the officer. As the officer turns the corner, the suspect fires multiple shots at him. The officer takes cover and reports that shots have been fired.
.663 shots fired, side of the building.
The suspect can be seen again, positioned on the opposite side of the building. He then fires an additional round and waits out of sight for the officers. Despite already being shot at and hearing another shot fired, the officers continue to pursue the armed suspect.
Where's that? 6-2, shots fired, side of the mill in front of the park. Let's go.
Police advised, 6-3 shots fired, side of the mill.
As the officer rounds the corner, the suspect shoots at him again. The officer then returns fire, wounding the suspect.
Corner deep. 63 right by the pool. They shot! County police! Everybody stay careful.
Let's jump into this. The shooting, it took place at the, I don't make up the names, but the Lost Knife Circle at the Cider Mill apartment complex. So that's where this thing, you know, goes down. And this is in Montgomery County, Maryland. And it's been described by the department leadership as a textbook response to a life-threatening situation. So the department is saying that it's a textbook response to a life-threatening situation. So here we go. Video begins with the officer saying, "Hey, buddy," to a guy that's off camera. Almost immediately, an officer can be heard shouting to pursue the person. So now that's what happens. The footage shows the suspect, who's Andre Duvall, 27-year-old young buck, right? He's leading a veteran Montgomery County police officer and a rookie officer on a pursuit, but they're going deep inside of an apartment complex. That is going to become key here when you hear what happened. The suspect goes around a corner, appears to lie in wait behind a blind corner, and then he opened fires as the officers approached. Now, I know that, remember when we have Jeff Winninger on the show from LAPD, he says that they're not authorized. In fact, they're prohibited from chasing unless you have a backup officer with you. So you have to have at least two officers when you chase a guy, because they have lost some guys running around corners, had a bad guy waiting there with a gun and taking him out. So that's what this guy tried to do around the blind corner. And look, there's video of all the stuff going down. You get to see the whole thing. And we'll have it, you know, that will be embedded into the show tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock on a Rumble channel. So again, we have two shows that we do. This one's live, And, you know, there's really no good way that I can show you a video during a live show. Too many things can go wrong, but we'll take a copy of this live show and we'll put it out on Rumble at 9 o'clock the next morning. So 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, it'll go out. And in the copy of the live show, we will embed every video that we're talking about. So that's why it's a great way to watch the show at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. You get to watch this video embedded into it. So you watch this happen. And so you, the guy's lying in wait. And as the cops come in, you know, this guy opens up on them. And so now the cops, you hear somebody yell, hey, he's going towards the pool now. So he rounds a corner and then there's another loud gunshot. And you can hear actually shots being fired. And the narrator says they're coming from the suspect. And so our cop is taken, our main cop is taking cover behind trees. And I believe that it was the veteran officer. And as he's moving from tree to tree or looking out, this is when the bad guy's taking shots at him. And so as the suspect rounds another corner, the narrator says that he fires another shot, and you can hear the shot in the video, a single shot, and the officer fires back. Now the video documents a rapid shift in the officer's priority. So when the officer ends up, you know, the third time the bad guy shoots at the officer ends up being in the open approaching a tree, but he's still looking for the bad guy. Bad guy starts to shoot at him. The officer almost instantaneously shoots back at the bad guy. He actually hits the bad guy. So three different times the bad guy's involved in shooting at the officers. And primarily, you know, we're looking at from the lens of our main veteran officer with the body cam. Officer's never hit. Bad guy's not a good shot, thank God. Our officer, when he finally gets in the shooting string with the bad guy, hits him. And now they go into life-saving mode. And they stabilize his injuries on site, and they save him and the rookie cop. And the bad guy ends up surviving for another day. Going to my show notes here and stuff, I was pretty impressed with how the officer moved from position to position using the tree as cover. You know, we have a lot of times our officers will, when you're engaged in a gunfight, they start to back up. It's just the weirdest thing. You've got cover, but they want to create distance to get away from the bad guy. But distance without cover, you know, it's less advantageous for you tactically. And so I was pretty impressed with that. The cop did not give up the chase, even though he knew the bad guy was hiding behind corners and relocating his position and stuff. The cop had guts. I love that fact. And only the third shot string where the bad guy was shooting the cop did take cover. You know, almost immediately, but he engaged the guy and neutralized him, and the guy went down. So bad guy survives, two cops live, and they're not shot at all. And then they go into life-saving mode, which is not easy to do for a lot of people. You have to go from trying to kill a guy to where you're trying to save his life. And they succeeded in doing that too. So let me know on the screen what you guys think, but, I see that, we've already got some people that look like they may be familiar with this video, and maybe you guys have already seen that. So thanks for the commentary. We've got about a minute and 10 seconds before we take our next commercial break, guys. And the time is just going by so fast. I can't believe it. I've got another story with a video component I'm going to whet your appetite on. In this one, we have an armed suspect ends up being shot when he points a gun at a bad guy inside of a hotel lobby. Now I've got less than a minute. I got to get into this. I got to whet the appetite on this story. This is so fascinating. And the video quality is just superb. Now we're in Tucson, Arizona, and that's where Brandon, what's his name, the cop Brandon, can I not remember his name now? The cop Brandon Tatum is from Tucson. I think he had 7 years with the Tucson Police Department. We have surveillance video showing the moments leading up to a January shooting of an armed man by a deputy. A female deputy, I might throw out there, in the lobby of a Marana hotel. So Justin Wade Stone, he's only 41 years old. He gets in the shootout with this female deputy. Wait till you hear what happened. Guys, time for a commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys, time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And, you know, they're thrilled to announce a new arrangement, the new partnership with Smarter Degree. And we've all heard of being a certified firearm specialist. It's a program that GunLearn offers in order to become a certified firearm specialist. And even if you've got that certification over the last 5 years, you can now turn it in the college credits because now they've got a deal with Smarter Degree. And it's actually worth college credits, which is really pretty smart. And so Smarter Degree's university partners are helping pull this off. And whether you're pursuing a degree or simply looking to maximize the value of your education, the partnership is opening up a new pathway to academic recognition for your firearms training. So guys, take advantage of it. And GunLearn.com, of course, It's the first and only company to offer a step-by-step program that takes you from your present knowledge level to become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist. And of course, that is now worth college degrees, college credits. They provide citations from federal law and ATF rulings, and that is gunlearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We left off talking about an armed suspect being shot when he points a gun at officers inside of a hotel lobby. This is in Tucson, Arizona, and it's at a Marana Hotel. So our bad guy is Justin Wade Stone. Of course, he's got three names because he's a bad guy, right? 41 years old, shot about 11 p.m. on January the 11th while the detectives with the Pima County Sheriff's Office and, Pima County Sheriff's Department, they have a fugitive investigative team. They're trying to serve an arrest warrant on this bad guy. The incident started when Stone, our bad guy, and a female that he's hanging out with, Teresa Jean Sturgis, 48 years old, and she gets arrested at the end, by the way, they're running through a hotel where they're believed to be staying. And so we've got surveillance camera showing this guy. He's got a gun in each hand, semi-automatic pistols. He's with a female, but they're together. You know, he's no threat to her. But it seems like they're somewhat aware that the cops are moving in. It's a fugitive, you know, task force, you know, so they know that they're about to be had. And so this guy is not going to go without a fight. So Stone is holding a gun in each hand, and he goes into like the lobby area, and he's pointed at like employees and stuff. And then all of a sudden you've got a double electric door entrance. And so you've got a female deputy turning the corner from the outside coming in. And all of a sudden this dude, this bad guy's there with a pistol in each hand. And the doors open up, the second set of doors open up, and she draws. And she's pointing her gun at him and giving him a command. So he's got a gun in each hand, and their guns are kind of like up in the air. And she's giving a command. Now there's no sound. Doesn't matter, guys. You know she's telling him drop the gun. So this is the tell. The guy is backing away from her. He's creating distance, but he's also getting close to where he's going to be able to duck into another room, hallway, elevator, whatever. And apparently there's an employee that we can't see that he's getting closer to as well. Thank God this female officer had the guts, the wherewithal in order to shoot him without letting him get out of her sight and get away. He's not pointing the gun at her. He's backing away, but he's not following her command. He's not stopping. He's not dropping his gun, which I know she's telling them to do. And she, instead of letting him get away from her to where he can kill someone or be a threat or be a lethal threat to her, take cover and then start shooting her. And she's not in a place where she can really get good cover because she's surrounded by glass doors. She takes him out. You know, she shoots him. So, it is a bona fide good shoot. And I'm assuming the people in Arizona are going to back her up on this. So again, our bad guy's name is Stone. He's with Teresa Jean Sturgis, 48 years old. And the female is not in the picture when the shoot happens. So Stone is being shot. So the new video released on Tuesday by the Pima Regional Critical Incident Team, it shows Detective Jacqueline Dean Teft, T-E-F-F-T. She's an 11-year veteran of the agency. She confronts him, says she stands behind the sliding glass doors to enter the lobby, true, and she fires at Stone, who had his hands up but was still holding his guns, and he's starting to turn toward a hallway where an employee is standing off camera, and that's when she shoots. No one else was injured, so took him out, and he ended up being struck in the torso. He's hospitalized and later arrested. So he actually did survive. And then Sturgis, the female he's hanging out with, was also arrested that night, later released. But listen to this. She has since died in an unrelated incident. I can only imagine. So she's no longer alive. And this dude's still freaking alive to face his day in court. So that's the way that ended. And I think I covered everything. I'm just kind of looking. They've got some great highlight videos, you know, where they're replaying it. And they've got highlights and circles over the guns in each hands, and they're pointing at who the players are. It's an incredible video to watch. So hopefully you guys will be able to watch that. And again, you can either go to This Is Butters channel at rumble.com if you want to see it right now, or you can wait till tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock, when we release a copy of this live show that's got the videos embedded into it. So you have those options. So if you guys are ready, we've got enough time, I think, for let's just see. What do I want to do the update article, or do I want to do a video? And I've got a couple update articles here. Let me take the update article. Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. We have a longtime Monroe County Sheriff's Office sergeant jailed in a timesheet scandal. You know, I hate to cover these, but I do it. I think it needs to be done. We're going to cover bad cops. No one hates a bad cop more than a good cop. And I'm telling you that the legitimate cops that are doing the job the right way, we hate bad cops that make us all look bad. So we have a veteran law enforcement officer with over three decades on the force facing criminal charges after investigators discovered that he's billing taxpayers while never leaving his house. You've got to be freaking kidding me. Now, when I was with Tampa in my final years, this actually ended up happening. My last 6 years, I was with the union, and we were in a position where we actually had to defend these guys. But let me tell you, when it's this bad, you're working on exit strategies. You're working on them. Are they able to leave, get their pension check, or do they lose their certification, or all these other things? Because sometimes it's just so bad. It's just like, you know, if they can get out of there without getting prosecuted, it's a win. And you're required, kind of like a good defense attorney, you know, or public defender, you know, you right or wrong, you need to do what you're paid to do and protect these guys as best you can. So the Monroe County Sheriff's Office arrested Sergeant Eric Mixon, 53 years old, on Thursday, March 26, 2026. Mixon, who served as a school resource officer, if Brett was on the show, he would say, told you so. Brett hates SROs. This guy's an SRO sergeant. He's now facing 7 counts of official misconduct for allegedly falsifying his work timesheets. And so we're going to go down this rabbit hole, and you guys are going to hate this guy by the time we get done. Not because of what I'm saying, but because of what he did that's coming to light. The investigation into Mixon, the SRO sergeant's conduct, began earlier this month. According to authorities, during the month of March, a detailed review of his work-related activity, equipment logs, and other digital evidence revealed that there was a pattern of deception. So at least somebody's checking into this stuff and catching wind of this. And so this guy popped up on somebody's radar. Thank God. The record showed that Mixon claimed full work days for a significant number of shifts while he remained at his residence for the duration of his scheduled hours. They're saying, if you guys are not picking up on this, they're saying that he spent entire work days, the entire shift, the entire day, never leaving the house. I mean, can you imagine that? Can you imagine having a job that where you're just like not even showing up? I don't know if he's making phone calls and appearing that he's available or whatever, but this is just freaking crazy. Mixon officially retired from the agency earlier in March, shortly after being interviewed by investigators regarding the discrepancies in his hours. So he knew that they were on him, and he said, I'm going to go and retire. His career with the sheriff's office spanned more than 31 years, having first been hired in January 18th of 1995. Now, it said he was, 53? It's a little old. I mean, look, I was 51 when I retired, and I was in excellent shape, but you don't need a lot of older cops. I don't know what kind of shape this guy was in. I kind of doubt. I think at 50, you don't want a lot of 50 some year old cops out there. This guy was an SRO, but man, just abusing the system, and just an example of what not to do. And some people might think that, well, he left in the middle of this investigation before they finished it. You know what? It's not going to matter. This guy, it says that this guy was jailed in a timesheet scandal. So look, this guy's already in jail. They did not stop the investigation. They're going to go in and go through. He may plan an exit strategy, but let me tell you, on stuff like this, I can tell you what's going to happen. This is Monroe County. And if their laws are similar, this is a Monroe County sheriff's deputy, and I suspect they're going to go after his pension. And Rick Ramsey is the sheriff, Ramsey, R-A-M-S-A-Y. And because of crimes of moral turpitude and stuff, a lot of times they can go after the pensions. And so I expect if that's on the table, that they will do that. They should go after this guy's pension because he was doing this when he was working. Now, look, the only issue I have is that, and I know we're winding this thing down. This guy was a cop for over 30 years. Let's say more than 31 years. So let's just say he spent 30 years as an officer and never did anything wrong, and he only did this like his last year. I think his pension should be preserved until he was a bad cop. But this has been going on for quite some time. I don't think he's going to be able to pull that off. I think that he's been doing this for years. I think that once he got into that SRO unit, that it allowed him in his position of rank in order to be able to stay at home. And he had people covering for him too, I'm sure. But just sad. But yeah, I have no sympathy for this guy. And you know what? Just like with our Deputy Scott Peterson, SRO, involved in Marjorie Stoneman Douglas Stoneman school shooting, I shouldn't say that he was involved because he never shot. You know, he was the coward, and they were going after his pension. I had no problem with that. I'm not going to be a guy picking, you know, sticking up for people like that, including this Monroe County guy as well. I'm not going to be the guy, you know, taking up for him. But this is in Tampa Free Press at TampaFE.com. I know that we're winding the time down, but that's how they roll in Florida with Monroe County. This guy, they're going to be going after his pension. There's no doubt about it. And they're going to win. They're going to take his pension. I'm just telling you now, that's my prediction. So guys, we got, it's the end of the show. So thank you to Detective Chip the Block. Oh, that's me. Yeah. The host of the show. Thanks for being here, Chip. I do want to mention the Wounded Blue, the woundedblue.org, Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3, helping cops out of the world of hurt. So guys, please support the Wounded Blue. I do on a monthly basis. And a shout out to our sponsors, supporter sponsors. They go the great lengths to bring this good quality content to you. Gulls.com, our title sponsor, ComplyTechnologies.com, our satellite sponsor, GunLearn.com, and Medicare.live, Safeguard Recruiting, and TwoBells.com. Thanks guys. We'll see you back tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern, to watch the show.